Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Spreading the news and information.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
This is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Tuesday, February 16th, and it is 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time. And today's title is WebMD a shill for Monsanto? You know, I got an email. I have to tell you, I got an email from an absolutely distraught individual saying, Dr. Daniels, I can't believe you're using WebMD as a reference. You're just a shill from Monsanto. Look at this website. Oh, my God. Okay. So, the reason that I use websites exclusively, like WebMD, Medscape.com, National Library of Congress, NIH, CDC, is because I want to demonstrate that even using information from the industry itself that's totally biased towards the industry, one can easily conclude that 880,000 Americans every year are dying as a result of medical care. So if I were to use information that was maybe balanced or biased against the industry, then one could say, well, Dr. Daniels, your information is biased against the industry, and so what you're deciding is unfair, it's uncharitable, and you need to give the medical schools and the medical industrial complex the benefit of the doubt. So in order to give them the benefit of the doubt, it is necessary to, as much as possible, limit myself to their own data, using their data, their information. So that's why I quote articles from places like WebMD, like the New England Journal of Medicine, like the Journal of the American Medical Association. So all of these sources are sources that are actually created by the medical industrial complex, censored by the medical industrial complex, and really advertising arms for the medical industrial complex. And so let's take a look at WebMD. So the question then is WebMD a show? And to really get at that, you have to kind of understand what we mean by, a show. So show is an accomplice of a hawker, gambler, or swindler who acts as an enthusiastic customer to entice or encourage others. So that would be a shill. So the question is WebMD a shill for Monsanto? Okay, so is WebMD an accomplice to Monsanto? Is WebMD acting enthusiastic in order to entice or encourage others? Now, if you've been watching the medical literature has really come out in favor of genetically modified food and organisms as really a good thing. And so the whole medical industry is a shill for Monsanto. I mean, if you really believe that Monsanto does indeed possess that level of power. So I think to think of WebMD as a shill for Monsanto is misleading because it implies that the rest of the medical industrial complex is not a shill for Monsanto. It implies that Monsanto and the medical industrial complex are somehow unrelated. This is not true. You know, Monsanto used to own drug companies. So there's a pretty close, you know, kind of hand-in-glove relationship here in terms of the industries. You know, one industry makes them sick, the other industry treats them. If you'll notice, your doctor never uses the word cure because he's not allowed to. In the medical school, we're told you are not allowed to use the word cure. So we have the pesticides, we have the food, we have the herbicides, hormones, antibiotics fed to the animals. People eat these things, these vegetables, these fruits, these animals that are contaminated, or we drink water that's contaminated, we get sick, and what does the doctor say? Oh, my God, you have an autoimmune disease. Let's give you steroids. Oh, my God, you've got high blood pressure. Let's lower it. And so there's never any, at no point is poisoning, intoxication of the food, or intoxication of the environment ever pegged as the cause of a person's illness or a person's sickness. So this is a cover story. And so the whole medical industry is a shill, not only for Monsanto, but for anyone and everyone else who might want to poison individuals, either environmentally or through the food. So WebMD is not necessarily a shill for Monsanto. They're just partners. They're on the same page, so to speak. You know, they are it's like a husband and wife, like a left hand and a right hand. They work together. So the suggestion that WebMD might not be on the same side as Monsanto, I mean, that would be shocking. Of course they're on the same side. They're part of the same medical industrial complex. It's part of the same thing. So to express shock or surprise that WebMD might take a position that would be supportive of Monsanto, is that's the shock. The shock is if they were on the different side. So let's take a look. This is a popular site on the web. It says WebMD, the latest shill for Monsanto. Okay. And so the pharmaceutical industry's influence over WebMD has, of course, been evident for some time. Are you serious? Has been evident? The pharmaceutical industry's influence has been evident? How could it not be there? The pharmaceutical industry shapes and molds the medical industrial complex. And WebMD is an organ of the medical industrial complex. Of course. Of course they would be supportive of. Yeah, you know, WebMD, better information, better health. Let's take a look. I mean, you can't miss it. So here we have a site, and this site has quizzes and advertisements that lead you to basically consume more medical care. So symptom checker. Take the first step and see what could be causing your symptoms and learn about possible next steps. Get started. Then once you subscribe to WebMD Daily, Men's Health, Women's Health. All right. But you click anything, and where do you end up? Symptom checker. So this is, Hypochondria USA. So you got to click, it's for you, for someone else, your male, female, choose one, your age, zip code, email. And this is all information that's needed to market and sell you stuff. This is a marketing website. To go to a marketing website for, serious health information is nonsense. It's silliness. So more from WebMD, hemophilia treatment, rheumatoid arthritis basics. Okay, so we know about rheumatoid arthritis. We've looked at that in prior shows. I refer you to the modern face of syphilis. Psoriasis, you know what that is. It's intoxication. Multiple sclerosis assessment. But get this. ADHD in children, the only thing worse than ADHD in children is the drugs they take for it. Diabetes diet. I went to medical school. I know that if you follow your doctor's diabetes diet, your diabetes is going to get worse. And then, of course, they talk about prostate cancer clinical trials. Do you know the best prostate cancer clinical trials show that if you do everything that your doctor tells you, get your nuts cut out and get your prostate removed, you're going to live 6 weeks longer? 6 friggin' weeks? Yeah, 6 impotent, miserable weeks longer if you submit to full prostate cancer therapy. Even the medical industrial complex demands that you have a 5-year survival. Now, we have to say what's 5-year survival, because prostate cancer victims have 100% 10-year survival without treatment. So we have to look at 20-year survival. But 20-year survival in a 70-year-old man is a bit difficult to manage. But these bogus diagnoses like prostate cancer, and those of you who doubt that, again, you can listen to my radio show, How Prostate Cancer Became a Disease. That's what WebMD is for. It's to get you all excited about symptoms that may be totally harmless and get you to submit to invasive, deadly testing and therapy. So let's take a look at this website that feels that WebMD's lit his show. Okay, glaring example, back in 2010, I wrote about how WebMD's free online depression test was rigged in such a way that no matter how you responded, the only answer you could receive was that you were at risk for major depression and should discuss your options with your doctor. That's the whole purpose of the website. Every website, every doctor, medical industrial complex website. The fake test was sponsored by Eli Lilly, the maker of Cymbalta, and its function was quite clear to get you to inquire about antidepressants. Sneaky form of direct-to-consumer advertising masquerading as a bona fide consumer aid sparked enough furor to spur Senator Charles Grassley to launch an investigation. After all, no one expects to be directed to seek help, let alone drugs, when you have no symptoms of a problem whatsoever. So let's just stop right there. So they're calling it a fake test that routed basically 100% of those who took it to the "you may have depression" diagnosis. You may have depression. Let's look into this and, of course, talk to your doctor. Well, what about the blood tests that doctors do? What about those tests? Do you know that every test your doctor does is rigged? It's rigged. Sorry for the interruption. I guess I got dropped. So every test, there will be a recording, by the way, and that'll be complete. Every test you take at your doctor's office is rigged. It is rigged so that 5%, at least 5% of all healthy people will test out in the range of this person's got a disease. Right. So if you go for your annual exam and get your usual battery of 50 different screening tests, your chances of having one abnormal value, if you're healthy, is just about 100%. And so this testing, this practice of using tests that are designed to indicate to healthy people that they are actually diseased is a widespread practice throughout the medical industrial complex. And all that WebMD is doing is continuing this practice. This, by the way, is a very sophisticated marketing practice. You give the mark, in this case, the patient, the impression that this test is impartial, that in the event that they're healthy, of course, the test results will all come back showing that they're in perfect health. When, of course, what's really happening is the tests are rigged so that 5% of all healthy people will have an abnormal test result. And then, of course, you have this abnormal test result, and because the patient hasn't been told that the tests are rigged this way, I'm using the word rigged to communicate an idea to you, but let's just say they're designed that way. They're designed to indicate disease in healthy people. So the real purpose of testing then is to convince a healthy person or as many healthy people as possible to submit to more testing and to even submit to drugs, medication, and surgery to investigate the abnormal test results. And so this side says that this is sneaky. Well, you might want to think of it as sneaky, but the patient is simply uninformed. And this test on this site was not a fake test. This was the real thing. In fact, do you know that doctors are given little tests? You know, we're supposed to ask the patient 5 questions, and if the patient says yes to 3 of them, then he's at risk for depression. And then, holy cow, the standard of care kicks in. Oops, patient's at risk for depression. I've got to offer him an antidepressant. Oh, my God. So this is just a standard care and a standard operating procedure. And to suggest that the test is sneaky is misleading because it suggests that the other medical tests, the X-ray, the MRI, the CBC, the SMA, simultaneous multiphasic profile or analysis, that all these other tests are not sneaky, that all these other tests are valid, when actually they're not. One test which people are really hung up on is the X-ray. The X-ray or MRI, X-ray, MRI scan, all of these tests that shoot these magical rays through your body and see bones and disease and things. So what's wrong with those tests? What's wrong with those tests? Let's say you've been diagnosed as having a herniated disc. Is if you take all the people who are healthy and have no pain, line them up, either adults age 40 plus, you're going to find at least a third have a herniated disc. These are folks that have no pain. So to attribute pain to a herniated disc is not reasonable. But no one tells the patient this. And, of course, you only X-ray the patients who have pain, right? And so this type of testing is rife throughout the medical industry. In fact, it is the standard. So this form, and they're calling it sneaky, of direct-to-consumer advertising masquerading as a bona fide consumer aid. And again, so when you go to your doctor and he does a blood test or an X-ray, it's the same as this sneaky direct-to-consumer advertising masquerading as a bona fide consumer aid. It's the same thing. But this website, WebMD, sparked enough furor to spur Senator Charles Grassley to launch an investigation. Why would Senator Charles Grassley launch an investigation? I'm sure Senator Charles Grassley is a very good guy, and that he was concerned. You know, that would, of course, that's a reason to launch an investigation. But why launch an investigation? You launch an investigation to protect the belief of the system, to give people the impression, oh, my God, we're so shocked. This is not going on anyplace else. Why, if it were, we'd be investigating that too. So what it does then is it helps people stay asleep. It helps people to believe that there's a watchdog somewhere. It helps people to believe that this one site, WebMD, is not typical of the medical industrial complex. When actually, it is. Yeah, it is. We doctors are given such outrageous checklists. It got so bad that, I stopped using them. Because perfectly healthy people, you know, would show up as being, well, sick or deranged. And it was very distracting in terms of helping people to heal. So if you have a person who actually does have a problem, and then you do one of these surveys, which shows that the real problem is the lack of a pill, then that totally throws you off the scent of trying to figure out what their real problem is. What is their real problem? Maybe the person's real problem is they have difficulty getting up and going to work every day. That is the real problem. The real problem, you know, to put a label on it called depression and give them an antidepressant might cause them to sleep in even more and still not be able to get up for work. So when you're talking with an actual real-life human being, you have to discuss with them what is their problem. And these surveys cut off that discussion and stop that investigation, which, of course, is what they're designed to do, stop that investigation and route things towards taking a pill. And so now what they're saying is they're blaming this on Monsanto. And Monsanto, I think, has been taking a lot of heat. And this is the plan, of course, to get everyone focused on Monsanto. It's like, oh, my God, Monsanto's a bad guy. And everybody else is a good guy. Yep. Your doctor, good guy. Hospital, good guy. Everyone else, good guy. So Monsanto is operating as the lightning rod, allowing people in their minds to give a free pass to all the other aspects of the medical industrial complex that are equally lethal. So Monsanto is one of the latest multinational corporate giants to use WebMD's influence to serve its own biased agenda. Okay. Almost every article now flaunts a Monsanto-sponsored ad saying it's time for a bigger decision about food, which links to Monsanto's biased take or opinion on soil, water, and honeybee issues, with no other contributors to the discussion in sight. Again, you know, as adults, we're all adults here, people can say, oh, yeah, going to WebMD, I see that they, you know, all these ads lead to drugs. Is that really what I want? If that's what you want, hey, go for it. You're in the right place, and you'll probably get a lot of drugs. But if it's not what you want, then you can say, yeah, I think I'll pass on WebMD. Or maybe you'll read WebMD and say, yeah, it sounds interesting, but I don't think a drug is what I want now. So people are adults. They can make these decisions. The idea that people are passive three-year-olds and therefore can't handle a trip to WebMD or can't handle what they might see when they click on a link is outrageous. It's insulting, I think. And not only that, it's ineffective because what it says then is that people can't solve this problem, and they can solve this problem. And then calling in poor Senator Charles Grassley, I'm sure he's a busy guy, to deal with an advertising arm of the drug companies is outrageous. I mean, Senator Grassley should say, well, WebMD is an advertising arm of the drug companies and the medical industrial complex. What do you expect? Why don't you start your own advertising company if you want to advertise something different? So that's what's going on. WebMD is not, you know, some charitable organization. They work on advertising money, and as such, you know, their content is appropriate to their advertisers, which is fine. Okay, almost every article flaunts a Monsanto-sponsored ad, which is fine. So you can read them or not read them. The rise of passive marketing. So according to marketing strategies, advertorial sponsorships are the best way to sell something these days. And that's true. because consumers do not realize they're being sold something. So I think every consumer should realize, let's go back to the basics, especially if you're over 40 or over 50. And even now, people remember something called the soap operas. Yeah, soap operas? Soap operas are these drama shows, daytime drama shows. And initially, soap operas were created because there's a need to sell soap. Why was there a need to sell laundry soap? There was a need to sell laundry soap because the manufacturers of laundry soap had done a study versus washing clothes with soap and washing clothes with no soap. And what did they find? Soap versus no soap got the clothes just as clean. And said, oh, my God, we gotta turn this around. We can't let Mrs. Jones or the mothers of the country ever discover this. Now, how do you do that? You have a show called a soap opera, and all the commercials are for soap. And the storyline, however dramatic it may or may not be, basically sells soap. In other words, everyone's wearing clean clothes, and everyone's so happy their clothes are clean, and it's just this value running through the whole soap opera of, you know, clean clothes. And then, of course, you have the commercial saying, this is how you get clean clothes. And so the soap operas were created, people think, for entertainment, when actually they were sold or created to sell soap, to sell a concept that was patently not true, which is that you need soap to clean clothes. Right. So this is just an extension of that. So now companies are writing information pieces that are simply advertisements. And we even have something called an infomercial, right? Infomercial. It pretends to give information when really the goal, of course, is to have people buy something as a result of receiving the information. And the information, of course, is appropriately slanted. So native advertising is the term, blurs the line between ads and independent content even further. And again, this is a lie in the sense that it supposes that there is independent content. It supposes that the movies that you see, that the TV shows that you see, that the information you get from the government, the information you get from your teachers in K-12 that's given to your children is not advertising content. It is. All of those things are paid for. There's a heavy influence in the classroom of advertisers. And so this story, the idea that WebMD, something perceived as an information or news thing online, might be a shill for a corporation that pays advertising dollars to it, it's a head-scratcher. Because the health class that your kids receive, K-12, all that information is provided for, free of charge, of course, by the medical-industrial complex to turn your child into a very good, perpetual, lifetime consumer of medical care. But it's given to your child under the guise of reliable, educational, unbiased information. But actually, it's simply an advertisement. And much of your child's classes are like history. History, instead of being a chronicle of one period of peace followed by another period of peace followed by another period of peace and happiness and nations working together, which, of course, nations work together all the time. You'd never know it from a history book. What is a history book? It's one war after another war, all about kings and queens. What does it tell your child? Oh, I grow up, I go off to war, I want to fight in one of these wars, make sure I win the war, and make the king and the queen happy. This is all advertising. This is all programming. So all around us, we get programming of information that's of limited utility, and all of it designed for us to either purchase something with our hard-earned dollars or, like in the case of school, to literally give our lives, to literally show up at the medical-industrial complex sacrificial pyre, let's say the operating room or the doctor's office, and take drugs that result in our premature death. And so the information that these kids are getting, say in health class or even in history class, is programming these kids to make the ultimate purchase with their lives. So it's programming them to go to war to be killed, to go to the hospital to be killed, to go to the doctor to get a drug to be killed, and be very happy about it and feel like they're making a contribution. And so to suggest that people have somehow a right to so-called unbiased information for free is almost, it's shocking that even someone would even think of that when you look at all the program that people get. And there are organizations paying a lot of money to control this content. And, of course, they're interested in making a return. So there's that bias there. Even in medical school is interesting. In medical school, they tell us, well, half of everything we're teaching you is false, and we know it's false. However, we don't know which half, so we're going to teach you all of it. And so then I asked the professor, I said, well, you know, why doesn't the medical school teach more about, and you can fill in the blank, I forgot what it was I was asking about that day. And the professor said to me, actually, I'm looking at the professor, it's the dean of students. I asked the dean. And the dean said, well, you know, Jennifer, we have meetings all year long deciding what goes in the curriculum and what gets left out of the curriculum. And we don't have enough time to put everything in. So what that tells you then about medical school is this 50% false curriculum, there's a lot of work that goes into maintaining that 50% false rate. In other words, there are individuals, there are special interests controlling the medical school curriculum to make sure your doctor gets information that will lead him to make certain purchases on your behalf, of course, and that information is actually false. And how does that information get in there? Well, I happen to have gone to medical school in 1979 to 83, so I'll give you a little bit of information about that. So I arrived in medical school in 1979. In 1979, medical school curriculum was anatomy, physiology, and biology, and pathophysiology, and biochemistry, basic sciences. And then you had 1 month blocks where you were in the hospital studying or practicing a certain area of medicine. That was it. That was all of medical school. Made sense to me. I was going to medical school to be a doctor. And I had those courses that pertain to treating people. Made sense. So I went away to business school at Wharton for about a year. Then I came back, and what did I find? The curriculum had been changed. Now the insurance companies had moved in, and they had put courses in the medical school curriculum. And what those courses say? Your patients can't afford health care. You must take insurance. It's the only way for you to get paid. Again, these are all basically false, right? I mean, anyone who can pay medical insurance premiums can certainly pay out of pocket for health care. Why? Because at best, 85 cents on the dollar of health insurance premiums goes for medical care. And in many states, the government has a waiver where only 65% of your health care premium dollar has to be spent on medical care, which goes to the doctor. And then the doctor, if he takes insurance, which he might, he then has to spend half of what he receives filing claims, maintaining electronic medical records, and complying with a lot of administrative privacy-violating activities in order to get paid. So then you have a dollar that you're paying, at best, 85 cents on that dollar might get to the doctor. And of that 85 cents, at best, half, which would be 42%, is what the doctor is able to spend on the care he provides for you. So you want it to get even scarier. You spend a dollar in health care premiums. 85 cents on that dollar goes to the medical industrial complex. That would be drug companies, doctors, pharmaceutical companies, hospitals. Okay. The doctor's share of that is at best 20%. And at best, half of that, which is 10%, is what he spends on the care he provides you. The other half he has to spend on staff to deal with your insurance company. So literally, only 10 cents of your insurance dollar, at most, is going to end up going to your doctor. And then what's he going to do? He's going to turn around, and because of the standard of care, he's going to dole this out to the hospital, the drug companies. And this is what's going to happen to your healthcare dollar. So if you're able to pay insurance premiums, you're more than able to handle all of your doctor bills. Why? Because your doctor's only getting 10 cents, at the most, 10 cents on the dollar. But this information is presented to you, the information to the doctor that the healthy patient can't afford to pay him as part of the curriculum. The curriculum has changed. So now a large portion of the medical school curriculum is determined by the insurance companies. And this started, I saw it in 83 as I was leaving medical school. And so the reason half of everything taught in medical school is false, at the time it's being taught, they know it's false, and they teach it anyway, is because the people influencing the information are basically large industrial segments who are paying for advertisement. And what your doctor is really listening to is 4 years of nonstop advertising. 4 years of nonstop advertising. And so this article on a popular health site talks about the patients being deceived because they're receiving a marketing message disguised as valid, impartial information. But what it doesn't mention is that this valid information disguised as marketing is all around us. When you watch a movie and the lady goes into labor and her husband puts her in the car and rushes to the hospital, that's propaganda. They could have just sat home and sipped some Kool-Aid or water and waited for the baby to show up, and it'd be no big deal. And everyone could just, go to bed, wake up the next morning, and go on with their lives. But you're not going to see that on a 6 p.m., sitcom or comedy show. Oh, no. And so all this propaganda about health, about dependency on the medical industrial complex, is weaved into the drama shows and entertainment. It's weaved into popular music. It's weaved into entertainment. It's weaved into the 6 o'clock news. So if WebMD is a show for Monsanto, if it is, if you believe it is, and I don't have a position on that, I'm neutral, then so is the 6 o'clock news, and so is medical school, and so is residency. And so is any entertainment that you may choose to consume. And so the venue where your sponsored advertorial is going, in this case WebMD, is an affiliate, has no input on the content. The advertiser has full control over the text of the informative ad. This is the same way the 6 o'clock news. When the 6 o'clock news reports a medical breakthrough, who do you think wrote that segment? Well, the manufacturers of the gizmo of the medical breakthrough is telling you to spend money on. You, the advertiser, can control how the information is presented on the page as opposed to having to select a regular display ad format. Absolutely. Just like the 6 o'clock news. Just like the format of an educational show on TV. Although expensive, the sponsored advertorial can be used in multiple publications, just like an infomercial. And so the infomercial format is being used throughout our lives. It's being used in our children's government-sponsored education, and even, I'm sad to say, private schools. It's being used in the entertainment that people consume. It's being used in news people consume. And so the answer, of course, is to become, heaven forbid, a critical thinker. Companies can reuse a sponsored advertorial as a standalone ad in other places, of course. And this also gives the veneer of veracity, of truth. Like, oh, my God, I saw that in class. I saw it on a 6 o'clock news. And I turned on this movie, and it's there, too. It must be true. Well, of course, it's not true at all. Not true at all. Those are all paid placements. And so native advertising blurs the line between ads and independents. The worst thing about this is that WebMD and its affiliates promote themselves as trustworthy sources for health information. Well, of course they're trustworthy. That's why their ads work, because they garner trust. And what's trustworthy is definitely a fungible quantity. When you say trustworthy, does that mean that the advertisers paying them can trust them to deliver the customers? Or does it mean that people coming there to get information can trust WebMD to give them a pat answer and a pill? What's trustworthy? I think they are trustworthy. But if the information is being blurred deliberately to sell very specific products and ideas, how trustworthy is that? Well, the answer is it's very trustworthy. You just need to know the bias, that's all. And so now they're saying Monsanto uses third parties to manipulate GMO content. Of course, of course, of course. And so the big deal here is to understand that, and here it says WebMD's history is riddled with conflicts of interest. Again, who does WebMD owe its obligation to? If you're reading these stuff, whether your kid is going to school and listening to health class, whether you're turning on the 6 o'clock news, whether you're going to WebMD, you need to realize this message is paid for. It's paid for by an industry. And that industry is the interest that these sources have to uphold. And once you understand that, then you're well armed. You can choose not to consume the information, or you can consume the information knowing what the bias is. I often advise people to read the information and do exactly the opposite of what it says. And try it out. You'll probably get better results. So WebMD also has a programming partnership with CBS News. As I said, the news industry is a part of the mix. The two working closely together to create co-branded news segments. However, this partnership is not openly discussed to viewers. And again, this is not a Monsanto thing. This is a medical industrial complex thing. And not only the programming, but the movies, everything passes through these sensors. Because the information they're selling you is so preposterous that if you saw even two or three pieces of entertainment or music or 6 o'clock news segments that didn't go along with the standard party line, you would immediately wake up and say, oh, that's ridiculous. Of course not. Of course I'm not going to believe that. Oh, let me forget that. So advertisers are not concerned with transparency and full disclosure. Absolutely not. And so you shouldn't expect it. You should realize that what you're reading is pretty biased stuff. And, of course, this site wants us to click a button, take action now, maybe get your name on a government list, who knows. WebMD accreditation promotes false reassurances of truthfulness. Absolutely, the whole industry does. You have a doctor, he's graduated, he has a medical degree, what does it mean? It means that he has consumed a certain amount of pretty high-level propaganda, and pretty dangerous propaganda too. But the public is given other information that this person is actually especially safe because they've consumed this propaganda. And unfortunately, most people don't have the privilege of sitting through medical school classes and listening closely from a patient perspective. And you realize, wait a minute, this illness that they're giving 5 different drugs for, 2 different surgeries, is not improved by any of these maneuvers. But it's a standard of care to employ all 7 of them. So that is the reality, and people need to simply be aware of that reality. And so WebMD accreditation promoting false reassurance is truthfulness. This is just the rule. This is what the medical industrial complex is all about. And, you know, the more certified your doctor is, the more dangerous he is. And so WebMD is simply engaging in a practice that is happening throughout the medical industry. Key for successful propaganda. And this piece, by the way, is successful propaganda. This piece actually reinforces the confidence in the medical industrial complex by suggesting that WebMD is an outlier, by suggesting that WebMD is an isolated bad spot that we can all get rid of by clicking the Take Action Now button. And that's not the truth at all. So if you click the Take Action Now button, that means that the propaganda of this article, which appears to bash WebMD while elevating the rest of the medical industrial complex, it means that you fell for it. You fell for it. So the key for successful propaganda is the illusion of independent corroboration. And that's what this article has, the illusion of independent corroboration. So this article itself is propaganda. So the drug, junk food, and biotech industries have deep pockets, so it's no surprise that their adverts would be splashed all over WebMD website. WebMD website, news shows, curriculum of schools, newspapers, it goes on and on and on. And again, this site is lulling people to sleep with the erroneous concept that this is just a WebMD situation. I'm not even going to call it a problem. But this relationship that WebMD has of being an advertising arm for an industry, that position is shared by a lot of areas that people consider to be trustworthy knowledge sources. And so now they're going to digress and talk about GMOs. This is what you really need to know about GMOs, and on and on and on. So don't you be a victim of this kind of propaganda, of these health sites that tell you there's one simple problem and the rest of the medical industrial complex is okay. It is not. 880,000 people killed every year. One, it's not an accident. And two, it's not the act of one or two rogue doctors or one or two rogue corporations or one or two pieces of well-placed propaganda. That's just it's absurd, absolutely absurd. And so you owe it to yourself not to fall for that and not to be naive. You just gotta buck up here. So we have 9 minutes left. And let's check out questions. Okay. Now, of course, we have an advertisement, yes. This show is brought to you by Vitality Capsules. So go to vitalitycapsules.com and check it out. Okay. Let's see what the site says. The records taken now are designed to blur the lines so the system can never be held liable legally. And so no one can ever point clearly, accurately, and definitively to why people are dying. Actually, that's not true. The FDA actually does keep a list of deaths that are reported to them each year as a result of pills that are taken. And this number is climbing every year. It's well over 100,000. Actually, I did a whole show on that. But there are many sources documenting these deaths, whether the deaths are from methicillin-resistant staph, whether the deaths are from bed sores, whether the deaths are from properly prescribed medications in hospital, whether the deaths are from surgeries done that didn't need to be performed. There's a whole list of these deaths, and they're very well documented. And as to the legal issues, the issue here is malpractice. What needs to happen is malpractice needs to be wiped out, needs to be abolished. And any time a person dies as a result of medical therapy, it needs to be treated like the crime that it is. And that's what happens here in Panama. In Panama, if a person dies as a result of what a doctor does, that doctor actually goes to jail for murder. That's it. And there are at least 11 doctors right now in this little bitty country of 3 million who are in jail. They're in jail. They're serving time for murder. So the problem is that malpractice is defined as deviating from the standard of care. And it's the standard of care that is responsible for almost 90% of the deaths caused by medical care. And so you have a legal statute that compels the doctor to commit almost 9 out of 10 of these killings. And these killings, again, this is by statute, by law. These killings are not murder because the doctor is authorized by the government to commit these killings. And so if the doctor were not licensed by the government, if he did not have special permission, then these killings would be prosecuted as a criminal prosecution. This is important. And we doctors are told this in medical school, that you are special because you are licensed. When people die as a result of you following the practice, the standard of care, of you doing what you're supposed to do, you are not guilty. You are not. You are immediately in advance exonerated. And so this person says, So that is, and doctors are told us, we're given this lecture, and it's a whole one-hour lecture. It gets repeated. It gets drilled into our heads. You are protected. You have special status. If people die under your care, it is under no circumstances a crime. It is only, one, the standard of care, and they died because they died, and you're doing what you're supposed to, and that's okay. Or you deviate from the standard of care, everybody makes mistakes, there's actually an insurance company who will make a payment on your behalf to the survivors. And so at no point will the doctor be held responsible for the death of a patient. And this is what patients don't understand. But this is what doctors understand. This is what doctors are told again and again and again and again. Because the killing is so much, and it's so frequent, and it's so often. And there are even books. There's a book called Kill As Few Patients As Possible. I mean, come on. What they're saying is, you're a doctor, you're going to kill people. That's okay. Just try and keep the numbers down. Well, that's outrageous. And then the killing is so frequent, so predictable, so ubiquitous, it means everywhere, that we actually have the malpractice company having the doctor show up for three-hour self-programmed lessons about how to treat the patient. And these are billed as how to prevent malpractice. But as a doctor who was licensed, who went and showed up for these classes, I looked at them and said, if I treated my patients like that, I would get sued more often. That doesn't make any sense. That is no way to keep from getting sued. So the malpractice companies are working hand in hand with the pharmaceutical companies. For example, when I was in practice, this was 1997, because it was getting really bad in 97, doctors were getting sued. And they said the number one reason for doctors being sued is side effects of medication. They didn't tell us the side effect being death, of course. Side effects of medication. So to prevent this, you need to discuss these side effects with the patient. No one mentioned not prescribing the drugs. Oh, no. Because what would that do? That means the malpractice company, which is part of the medical industrial complex, their job is to give false assurance, to give patients a false idea that they actually have recourse when they don't, and that they'll actually be redressed or compensated when they won't. They need to protect the other segments of the cartel. So what's really going on here then is you have a very well-coordinated industry. Each person or each segment playing its part, each segment taking its profits, each segment not stepping on the toes of the other one. So okay, China's system, yes, chase the doctor down and make them feel like they're being threatened by the mob. That's true. China actually has a system like that where if a doctor angers you or harms you, you can actually pay someone to go beat the doctor up. That's the way they do it. But here in the United States, we are civilized. But that's really, really important, is to understand what is going on here, the false assurances, the deception. And one way to understand a deception is when you go to the doctor and you don't feel any better. Well, why is that? If all this stuff was scientifically proven, if they check to make sure this stuff works in advance, then why didn't what the doctor just gave you? Why didn't it work? Answer, of course, it was designed not to. So how do you prevent this? Answer, the system is so rigged that there really is no way. There's no way of winning. You can't win. So you have to not be involved. Not be involved. So get a start and go to vitalitycapsules.com/remedies and get your report on remedies so powerful they could make antibiotics obsolete. Remedies so powerful they could make antibiotics obsolete. And that's at vitalitycapsules.com/remedies. Yep. Go check it out. As always, think happens. And we'll see you on either Sunday or next Tuesday.
Make believe.